This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are continuing with our tafsir of the verse of the surahs towards the end of the Quran. We began looking a few weeks ago at the tafsir of Surah Takathur. Then we looked at the tafsir of Surah Al-Asr. And then we looked at Surah Humazah. The next surah in this list is Surah Al-Fil. Now we noticed a theme that was running across all these surahs, and that was a warning about the purpose of life and about not being caught up and distracted by this world and by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Surah Humazah, the theme shifted a bit towards the major sins and the punishment for it in the afterlife. Now the next surah, Surah Fil, deals more with history. It's still on the topic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment for sins, but it's now a historical surah. You see, the surahs we looked at in the previous weeks focused on the future or on things which are continuously happening, talking about universal issues like backbiting and miserliness and getting caught up in this world. But this specific surah, Surah Fil, deals with a historical incident. And it is an historical incident which many of us are familiar with. And that is the story of the elephant, of Abraha and the elephant, which occurred in the same year in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. So what happened in this event and what is the surah talking about? Very briefly, in this year, what had happened was that there was a man or a ruler in Yemen called Abraha, who had built a temple for people to come and worship in. However, because the Kaaba in Mecca was attracting more worshippers, he began to grow a bit of jealousy and animosity. And it was during this time that some of the Arabs, out of spite to him, they had decided to defile his temple. So in anger, he decided to raise an army, which included elephants, to go and destroy the Kaaba. And so Abraha raised his army and he began to march towards Mecca to destroy the Kaaba. We are very familiar with the story, alhamdulillah. It does pop up very often in our history. But what's interesting about this story is not what Abraha sought out to do, but what happened to him. So Abraha and his army, they decided to march towards Mecca. However, before they could enter Mecca, his elephant decided that it does not want to go any further and it's not going to destroy the Kaaba. And they tried everything they could to get the elephant moving, to get the elephant going towards the Kaaba to destroy it, but the elephant would refuse to budge. On the other hand, if they made the elephant face back towards Yemen, it would start walking again. So this was regarding the elephant. There was another incident which happened during this time because the people of Mecca, knowing that this army is coming with elephants, they knew they were no match for this army. So they did not know what to do. Abdul Muttalib, who was one of the leaders of Mecca at that time, and many of us know him as the grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he decided that they should leave Mecca and let Allah defend the Kaaba. So he went to meet Abraha about some camels which Abraha was owing him. So Abraha told him, "I'm coming to destroy your Kaaba and you worried about your camels." Abdul Muttalib said, "I am the owner of the camels. I will worry about and look after my camels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of the Kaaba and he will take care of the Kaaba." And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did take care of the Kaaba. And when Abraha and his army tried to go towards Mecca, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent upon them birds with stones to pelt them and just kill them all and destroy the army. And thus the Kaaba was saved from destruction. This event became very famous throughout the area, so much so that that year became known as Amul Fil, the year of the elephant. And it was in that year, the year of the elephant, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. And so it would be 40 years later that he would receive prophethood. And upon becoming a prophet, one of the early surahs which were revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Surah Fil, reminding the Arabs about this incident. Why? Why reminding the Arabs of an incident which happened 40 years ago? because it is a reminder to them that if they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they oppress the believers, then the same thing will happen to them. And so it is a reminder to people today as well. The surah goes as follows. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. Have you seen how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how your Lord dealt with the companions of the elephant? Alam yaj'al kaydahum fi tadlil. Did he not cause their plan to fall into ruin? Wa arsala alayhim tayran ababil. And he sent upon them flocks of birds. Tarmihim bihijaratin min sijil. Casting against them stones of baked clay. Waja'alahum ka'asfim ma'akul. And they ended up like eaten up straw and hay. Very descriptive five verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of what he did to the people of the elephant. Now, what matters to us when we do tafsir is what we can benefit from the surah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mention any story in the Quran unless there are wisdoms and reasons behind it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this, that he says in the Quran, إِنَّ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ لَإِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, that in their stories, there are lessons for people who think. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in another verse of the Quran, فَقْصُصِ الْقَصَصِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, narrate to them the stories so that they may think about it. And so the purpose of the Quranic stories is for us to ponder over its meanings. Now, many people ask me, why are the Quranic stories missing details? Why do they have so few details? They are very light in detail. For example, the story of the elephant is just five short verses. I had to explain to you the rest of the story from my side. And there are a variety of reasons for this. The first and primary reason is that the stories of the Quran were not revealed to teach us history, but to teach us lessons and guidance. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only reveals those details in which there is a lesson. And he withholds those details in which there are no lessons. And so the focus of the stories is entirely on the lessons. Number two, regarding Surah Fil and other stories like this particularly, the story was so well known to the Arabs that there was no need to reveal the entire story. It's something that they know about. All they needed is a reminder. And for the rest of us, it's also well known to us because it is documented in our books of history. So this is why the stories of the Quran are written in such short form. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing to us stories to teach us lessons, not to learn the history, but what can we take from it. And so the focus that we are going to be, so the topics that we are going to be focusing on for the rest of today's program is what are the lessons that we can take from Surah Fil and from the chapter of the elephant. So what is the first lesson that we can take from the surah? Well, we go back to the statement of Abdul Muttalib when Abraha told him that, you know, you worried about your camels, you know, coming to destroy your Kaaba. And Abdul Muttalib told him that I will look after my camels for I am its owner and the owner of the Kaaba will take care of it. We see a very high level of tawakkul, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will indeed protect his religion and protect his signs. And this is coming from during the time of Jahiliyyah. Remember, this is before the prophethood of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when majority of the Arabs were still worshipping idols, right? But still they had this level of tawakkul, that idol worshippers had this level of tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What about those of us today who claim to have tawheed, who claim to worship Allah alone? Where's our tawakkul? Today we find ourselves saying that, you know, I need to take this interest loan, otherwise I'm going to become poor. I need to take this, otherwise I'm going to lose money. I need to sell this haram, otherwise I'm not going to make a profit. Where's the tawakkul gone? Where's the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider? Where is the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for everybody how much they are going to earn for the rest of their lives? So tawakkul is something that we need to learn from the surah. We are going to take a short break now. When we return, we will continue with the tafsir of Surah Fil. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we are looking at lessons from tafsir of Surah Al-Fil. Surah Fil, the famous story of the elephant, when Abraha had taken his army with elephants to go and destroy the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Kaaba. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who protects his house. And he destroyed the army of Abraha. Before we went for the break, we are talking about tawakkul. And that the people of Makkah at the time of Abraha, even though the majority of the people of Makkah were idol worshippers, they still had tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They still believed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect his house. Yet today, many of us claim to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. We claim to be the followers of La ilaha illallah, that there is no God except Allah. But tawakkul is missing in our lives. We put our trust in everything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We put our trust in our bank accounts and in our abilities to do well in business and in this connection and that connection. And we don't have that trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a famous hadith where Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him, tell your followers and your ummah not to worry, because Allah has already written how much they are going to earn until they die. Over 50,000 years ago. Now, this hadith does not mean that we don't work. What it means is that we don't take haram methods. Because whether we do the haram way or the halal way, either way, we are going to get that which Allah has decreed for us. This is the belief every believer should have. That whatever wealth I am going to make in my life is already been written for me in Qadr, in Allah's destiny. The only choice I have is whether I am going to earn it in the halal way or in the haram way. And that's where the test lies, because the haram way is usually easier. The haram way is usually more tempting. And today the haram way is more common. So people will tell you that take a loan on interest. Yeah, it's a bit of interest, but you're going to make a profit. And the temptation is there because the profit is more instant. You know, everybody else is doing it. Everybody is pressurizing you to do it. And you hear some faulty fatwas from people saying, no, it's halal, it's halal. It's not halal. Riba is never halal. The Prophet ﷺ said that the lowest form of riba is worse than committing zina with your own mother. That's how evil the sin of riba is. And today we find Muslims saying, no, just do it, don't worry about it. Imagine that. Yet, you know, if you think about, if you do it the right way, if you say, I'm not going to go down this road, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not abandon those who stay away from haram for his sake. If you have the tawakkul and we decide to do things the halal way, I guarantee you, you will see the same profit. Maybe not in the same amount of time. Maybe it'll take a bit longer, because Allah will test you first. Allah will test you to see, are you firm in that commitment and that belief that Allah is going to help you? Or will you back down and take the easy haram way instead? So the test will come. But once you pass the test, you will get the wealth that was due to you. Because you are going to earn the same amount whether you do it the halal way or the haram way. It's just a matter of pleasing Allah or displeasing Allah. And furthermore, the wealth we earn the halal way has barakah. So we might have two people earning $1,000 each, but one's earning it halal, one's earning it haram. The $1,000 of the person who earned it the halal way goes a long way and it lasts much longer. So tawakkul is a very, very important part of our religion. It is something which is from the foundations of our aqidah and tawheed. It is a sign of true tawheed, of true belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us and has promised us, may yattaqillah yaj'allahu makhraja warzuqhu min haythu la yahtasib. This is in Surah Talaq. That whoever feared Allah, He will make for them a way out and will provide for them from where they do not expect. Now, interesting that this verse is mentioned in Surah Talaq. Because usually, specifically for a lot of women, it's during the time of talaq that they begin to worry, how am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to manage? How am I going to survive? What am I going to do? And at the very beginning of Surah Talaq, after mentioning the correct method of giving a divorce, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the second verse of Surah Talaq, may yattaqillah yaj'allahu makhraja. Whoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah will make a way out for them. Meaning, if you are righteous and you know you go into divorce because it's a last resort, may Allah protect us from it and give everybody happy marriages, but there are times where it's a last resort that needs to be done. In those cases, many people have this fear that how am I going to survive? How am I going to provide for my children? How am I going to raise my children? We have this fear. So at the very beginning of Surah Talaq, Allah says, "May yattaqillah, yaj'allahu makhraja." Whoever fears Allah, Allah will make a way out for them. Warzuqhu min haythu la yahtasib, and provide for them from where they do not expect. Wa may yatawakkal 'ala Allah fa huwa hasbu, and whoever puts their trust in Allah, He is enough for them. Now this is a very, very interesting verse, because it does not only apply to the situation about which it was revealed. Yes, it's revealed in Surah Talaq, so it is a comfort for people who have suddenly found themselves in that situation, that Allah will take care of them and help them. But it also applies to any other situation in life. In any situation in life where you have a choice between right and wrong, and the wrong seems easier and seems to have more money, and the right way seems to be putting you in some kind of constraint, remember, taking the right way is where Allah will help you. And He will help you in ways you never imagined. In the ways that you never imagined, you never thought about it, that the help will come from here. And I've seen this, alhamdulillah, in my own lives. And many, many people I know of have seen this in their own lives. That when you take a stand for what is right, and it looks like things are not going your way, suddenly Allah provides from you from somewhere which you never imagined. You never thought about. The wealth will come. The help will come. We find this even amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that they had this tawakkul. Reading a story 2 days ago by Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, our beloved mother, the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq, Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. And the story goes as follows, that Aisha radiallahu anha was in her house. And it was almost the time of iftar, she was fasting, and a man came begging at the door. All she had in the house was a little bit of wheat to break her fast with. And so her servant, told the man that we don't have anything to give you. So Aisha said, give him the wheat because Allah will provide for us. And so iftar time came and they had no food in the house. And shortly thereafter, there was a knock on the door and someone came to donate or to give a goat as a gift to Aisha radiallahu anha. And the servant of Aisha commented and said, this man who came to give us a goat today, he has never given us something ever before. And Aisha Rana explained that this is how Allah provides. And she said, isn't this goat better than the wheat? So we see in this story also that the level of tawakkul that Aisha radiallahu anha had, the level of tawakkul that the Sahaba had, that Allah will provide. And we see how Allah provided from where they didn't least expected it. And we find this happening again and again in our lives. Each and every one of us, you know, if you take this stand, I guarantee you, you will see Allah providing for you in place from ways that you never expected. So we have to take another break now. When we return, we will continue with the tafsir of Surah Fil. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are looking at the tafsir of Surah Fil. So we focused a lot on the importance of tawakkul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The main lesson, however, of the surah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to emphasize, and at that point in time to emphasize to the Quraysh of Makkah, is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change things. To change things just like that. That Abraha and his army were so powerful. And you look at an army that's so powerful and you wonder who can stop them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do whatever He wants. And this is a lesson to everybody who is arrogant. To everybody who thinks that I have power. To everybody who thinks that nobody can stop me, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destroyed those who are better than you in the past. Those who had more power than you in the past. Those who were stronger than you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can destroy us as well. May Allah protect us and guide our hearts. This is also a lesson for those of us who look at the world today and think, how will Muslims ever regain their strength? How will Muslims ever regain their glory and their power? We are so weak. You know, things can't change. Things can always change. Things can always change because everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have to put in the effort to make that change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in Surah Nur that if you believe and do righteous deeds, He will make you all the khilafas of the earth, the khalifas of the earth. This is in Surah Nur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you believe and do righteous deeds, He will make you all the inheritors of the earth. Khalifa is the word that is used. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the methodology for restoring khilafah and for regaining the power of the ummah. And that is that we have the right beliefs and do righteous deeds as an ummah as a whole. Unfortunately, you know, we live in a time where those Muslims who are trying to do righteousness are sometimes even ridiculed by other Muslims. You know, so if we want to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us, we need to start being better Muslims. If everybody is making an effort to be better Muslims and we have this global effort, then I guarantee you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors for change and open the door for the ummah gaining its power which it had before. Don't think that the situation is ever hopeless. No situation is hopeless because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over everyone and everything. Just like how He destroyed the army of Abraha, He can do the same to anybody today. And just like how He gave power to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his followers over the Quraysh, He can give power to people today. If you look at the story of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, it's amazing. It's actually a miracle how he gained power so quickly. Because he became a prophet and he had a handful of followers. And people looked at him as a small band of people. No one imagined that such a small group of people within 23 years could grow so powerful that all of Arabia would be underneath them. Yet every day and every year people were entering into Islam. And the people who entered into Islam were so firm and so committed and so righteous that, you know, it helped them to reach a higher level. And within a period of 20 years, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam walks back into Makkah, the same city which he was from, the same city where he was oppressed, the same city which he was kicked out from. He walks in a conqueror with a huge army and he forgives everybody. That event caused many of the Quraysh of Makkah to convert to Islam. Why did that cause them to convert to Islam? Because that's something which doesn't happen in history. It hasn't happened besides this in history. That's something which seems impossible. That was evidence and proof for them that indeed he was a true messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when that happened, many of them entered into Islam, as we will look at in the tafsir of another surah in a few days' time. So the point here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes things as he wills. He can make the strong weak and the weak strong. He can make the superpowers destroyed and he can raise new superpowers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of everything. And we need to have this firm belief. We need to have this strong conviction in this. And not to be weak. Not to be, you know, a cynical and pessimistic ummah. You go around today, so many people are only talking about the bad. That this ummah is weak and the ummah is dying and the ummah is going through harm and the ummah is falling apart. And we talk so much sad things, so much depressing things, that we begin to think the situation of the ummah is hopeless. Well, if we just turn around and we look around, we see there's a lot of good in the ummah too. I mean, 20 years ago, we didn't have this many Islamic radio stations, Islamic television stations, Islamic websites, Islamic conferences, Islamic classes, as we see today. We have more English books on Islam than we ever had before in history. We have more youngsters who want to practice and learn their religion than we've had in the past 50 years. Why don't we look at all of that? Why don't we look at all the positive and think that, alhamdulillah, there is this revival going on. The ummah is waking up. Well, alhamdulillah. So, you know, we need to have a positive mindset, knowing full well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who changes things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will help us to reach the next level and to help the ummah regain its power. But we need to make the effort from our side to believe in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed with conviction and to practice it and follow it and be righteous Muslims. If a majority of the ummah is doing that, then Allah will help us. Another hadith the Prophet said about this topic, that when people are righteous, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them a righteous ruler. And when people are unrighteous, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them an unjust ruler. So when we talk about the rulers and we are picking faults on the rulers and talking about how corrupt the rulers of the world are today, let us look around and see, what about us? What about the average person? Are we any less corrupt? We talk about the people in government taking and receiving bribes, and the same person who's talking about that is also bribing in the businesses and at the airport customs and everywhere else. You know, what's the difference between the two? You see, we look at the faults of others without realizing we have the exact same faults sometimes, right? So we need to be realistic. The Prophet ﷺ said that when people are righteous, Allah will grant them a righteous ruler. So that's what we need to work towards, righteousness for us and our families. If everyone's doing this, Allah will change the situation around and we will see righteous rulers. Because if everybody's righteous and the ruler's appointed from amongst them, what kind of a ruler will be appointed except a righteous man? So we need to have faith in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they have told us and they have told us the method of regaining the power for the ummah. It is in being righteous and doing good deeds. We have fallen far, far away from that. Many of us today think that the way forward is to be as westernized as possible, as, you know, un-Islamic as possible, in order for us to regain our power and status in modern society. The further away you go from Allah, the less Allah is going to help you. And it's interesting, you know, people have gone so far to try and modernize Islam, that this very surah we're looking at, Surah Fil, you know, and Na'udzubillah, in recent times, an entirely new tafsir has come about of the surah, which has tried to even modernize the surah, to try and change history. What am I talking about? I'm talking about, in recent times, someone has misinterpreted the surah and said that the surah is not talking about birds throwing stones at elephants. It's talking about microbes and viruses. Why did they say that? Because they're trying to make it sound as scientific as possible in order to appease the non-Muslims. You see, there's this growing trend, unfortunately, amongst Muslims today, that, you know, miracles are something that we should not not part of the religion, or na'udzubillah, that there's no place for miracles. We need to be scientific about everything. And so there is this group that have began to reinterpret every miracle mentioned in the Quran in a scientific way to try and deny the existence of miracles. Unfortunately, you know, in many of the Western societies, they have gained a bit of power, a bit of influence over people. So it's important for us to refute this misunderstanding. These miracles are real. Miracles are real. Allah has power to do whatever He wants. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make fire cool, He will make fire cool. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to destroy elephants with birds, He can destroy elephants with birds. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give man the ability to understand the speech of an ant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do so. These things are miracles. Miracle means something which is beyond human capabilities, but still it happens because of Allah. So naturally it's going to be something that science can't explain. So don't try to explain miracles in a scientific way. It's not possible. And you end up compromising the religion and compromising history for the sake of appeasing people. And how will that hold up on the Day of Judgment? So be careful of these types of tafsir where they try to reinterpret the verses. And I've seen it for this specific surah where they try to change the meaning of the surah. And in doing so, trying to change our history. The history is very clear that it was birds. Allah uses the word birds who threw stones, and it was these stones which killed the people. Yes, it may not be scientific, but that's because it's a miracle. Miracles are not meant to be scientific. Miracles are evidence to us of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of everything, He can change things and He can do things differently from the rest of us. So let us take this as a lesson in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the reality of miracles. Miracles do happen. They've always happened. They will always happen. And science can't explain them. It doesn't matter. Science can't explain everything. You know, we've become so obsessed with science in the modern world that, you know, recently there's been a debate going on about whether there's place for Darwin's theory in Islam. There's no place for this nonsense in Islam. Islam is very clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam and Eve, Adam and Hawa alayhimus salam, and from them created the rest of humanity. There is no room in Islam to believe that humans evolved from apes. And for a Muslim to want to believe that because it's the beliefs of the West really shows how far away we have fallen from Islam. That we begin to look at science as being the ultimate yardstick and revelation as being inferior to it. Muslims should believe and understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. And we, even with all our scientific knowledge and expertise, still make mistakes. And so if the one who knows everything says that humans were created from Adam and Hawa alayhi salam and they were created by Allah, and the people, humans who make mistakes, are the ones who are saying that humans evolved from apes, why do we follow humans over the creator? What does that show us about our belief about the creator? What does that teach us? What does that indicate about our level of tawheed and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being al-alim, all-knowing? So these new trends amongst us to try and put in everything which science has into the religion and try and change things to suit the non-Muslims, This is not part of Islam. Islam, we need to keep it pure. We need to keep it as it was at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Yes, science has its place, definitely. And there are scientific miracles in the Quran, definitely. But if something is not there, don't try to change it just to suit people. Rather, believe in what Allah has revealed, even if other people don't believe in it. Because it's the truth. The truth is not based on majority. The truth is not based on what science says. The truth is based on what Allah has revealed. Revelation should be the ultimate criteria for truth and falsehood. And if we don't believe that, it's a deficiency in our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He knows everything. That's what it indicates. So that's a lesson for those of us who get too caught up in science and end up trying to change the meanings of the Quran to suit the modern world. Let us not do that. May Allah protect our hearts and guide us all. So Surah Fil, alhamdulillah, we have learned from the Surah the importance of tawakkul. We've learned about miracles and their power and their reality. The miracles are indeed something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed to happen. And some people go to extremes in making up stories and some people deny it altogether. But reality is miracles are real. They've happened to all the prophets, they've happened to Sahaba, and they will continue to happen until the Day of Judgment. And we can also learn from the Surah the importance of wilayah, of putting our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection, Allah's divine protection. You know, nowadays we become so caught up in seeking protection everywhere else that we've forgotten that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who protects us. If we want to be protected, if we want to be safe, then we need to live lives which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because at the end of the day, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who protects us. One of the ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us is that He has given every believer angels in front of them and behind them who are guardian angels. Right? We know about the angels on our right and left who write down our deeds. Besides that, there is an angel who is trying to tell us to do good deeds. And there is a jinn and a shaitan trying to tell us to do evil deeds. And there are angels in front of us and behind us who are protecting us from evil. So, technically speaking, everybody walking around today has a lot of angels around them. However, the closer we are to Allah, the more chance there are of angels protecting us. The further away we get from Allah, the less chance are that the angels are going to be protecting us. If we are involved in a sin, we cannot expect the angels to be near us at that time. So we cannot expect the angels to be protecting us at that time. And the Prophet ﷺ has informed us about these angels that they will protect the believer until Allah wills. Meaning when Allah wills, Allah wants something to happen to us because of some good which only Allah knows, then the angels won't protect us at that moment. However, what we need to realize is that Allah's protection is for those who seek it, for those who try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those of us who try to live righteous lives. That is when Allah will protect us. If we are not doing what Allah wants us to do, we cannot expect the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we need to wake up. We need to realize that if we want Allah to protect us, we need to start doing things from our side. And yes, South Africa, we know how much we need protection. We know about the crime rate in our country. We know about all the crazy things that go on. We read about it in the news. We hear about it on the news. Some of us have even stopped listening to the news because we don't want to hear about it anymore. We need protection. And protection comes from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if we are taking our means and we are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is more chance that He will protect us. Just like how He protected the Kaaba from the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will protect us as well. One more lesson that we can learn from Surah Fil is the sanctity of the Kaaba and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Kaaba is something very special. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a miracle to protect it. And so for those of us who travel to Makkah and who go for Umrah, how many of us, you know, we give the Kaaba its due right? Unfortunately, in recent years, I've seen a lot of trends around the Kaaba which make me very sad. One is people making tawaf while chatting on their cell phones. You know, I mean, you're supposed to be talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're talking to everybody else. Another one, even worse, are young boys who purposely bump into women while making tawaf. And I've seen this happening. You know, or you know, those who are eyeing women in the haram instead of lowering their gaze. Even though the women are in hijab, but still we have people doing this. What has happened to the sanctity of the haram? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's house and the Kaaba that is the one place on earth where, you know, just seeing it should make us more righteous. Yet still, many of us end up falling even around there. So let us treat the house of Allah and other signs of Allah, like the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or Masjid al-Aqsa, or anything else which is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Safa and Marwa, let us treat it with the respect it deserves. Right? And let us treat the religion of Allah with the respect it deserves. By obeying Allah wherever we go. Yes, we are human, we slip up, we make mistakes, but at least when we are there in front of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's give it the respect that it deserves. So this is Surah Fil. It's a very short surah, it's only 5 verses, and it's describing a historical incident which took place 40 years before the prophethood, in the year that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was born. And it is a story from which we can learn a lot of lessons. Just a quick recap, the first thing we mentioned that we can learn from the story is the importance of tawakkul, of putting our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we spoke about how today, for many of us, our trust is in everything else. And this is a reminder to us that our tawakkul should primarily be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we also spoke about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change things around and make the powerful weak and the weak powerful. Just like how he destroyed Abraha and his army, he can also destroy people today. He can also change things around today. We should not look at things only from a worldly perspective. We should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over all things, and he can change things just like that. We also learned from here that miracles are indeed a reality. They have happened and they will happen. We should not deny the existence of miracles in order to appease the West. No, miracles are something which will always happen. And we also learn from this surah that the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be sanctified, and it is something which is very precious to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so we should give it the rights that it deserves. So these are some of the important lessons that we take from Surah Fil. Now, how does Surah Fil fit in with the surahs which were mentioned before it? Well, it continues with Surah Humaza and Surah Al-Asr, all talking about how people were destroyed. Surah Takasur warned us about being caught up in the life of this world and being distracted by the things of this world, and if we do that, then, you know, we might face the hellfire. Surah Al-Asr again reminded us that mankind is headed for destruction except for those who believe and do righteous deeds and help each other towards the truth and patience. And then Surah Humaza reminded us of some of the common pitfalls which lead us to destruction, like miserliness and backbiting and slander, and then warned us about the punishment of the hellfire. So Surah Fil is again warning us about the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who get caught up in this world. People like Abraha. Allah is now giving us a historical example of someone who was distracted by the competition. What competition was Abraha distracted by? The competition between his temple and the Kaaba to attract worshippers. Right? Abraha did not fulfill any of the conditions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had listed in Surah Al-Asr. Right? Abraha was arrogant. Abraha was from those who chose to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Abraha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished him even in this world. And so Allah is now giving us in Surah Fil a historical example of what happens to those who get distracted by this world, who choose to live a life of unrighteousness, and what end they meet even in this world. And you can imagine in the afterlife, it would be even worse. So the next surah in this series is Surah Quraysh. And Surah Quraysh is again a very short surah. It's only 4 verses. And we're going to look at it in detail next week. Because remember, who was Surah Fil revealed to initially? It was revealed to the Quraysh of Makkah. The Quraysh, the Bani Quraysh of Makkah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed to them Surah Fil to remind them of what Allah had done to people before them, to 40 years ago, what happened to Abraha, something which they knew, something which many of them had seen. And so in the very next surah, Allah continues on the same theme, directly addressing the people of Quraysh, now reminding them of his favors to them. Reminding them of his favors to them specifically. And that because of these favors, they should worship him alone. So we are going to look at that surah, inshallah, in details next week. And if we have time, we will look at Surah Ma'un as well, which discusses some of the common mistakes and sins which we fall into. So inshallah, we're going to look at those two surahs if possible next week. If not, we'll look at Surah Quraysh next week and Surah Ma'un the week after that, inshallah. And with that, we have come to the conclusion of our tafsir of Surah Al-Fil. Reminder to each and every one of us that these are not just stories, that we need to take the lessons to heart and make every verse of the Quran a means of changing our lives and bringing us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the correct understanding of the Quran and Sunnah and to help us to practice it and to follow it and to live it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the Quran a constant part of our lives, that every day we are reading it and learning from it and benefiting from it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the capabilities to practice upon what we have learned in the tafsir of Surah Fil. With that, inshallah, we come to a conclusion with this week's tafsir, and I hope to see you all next week for Surah Quraysh. Until then, try to recite the Quran with understanding every day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep all our hearts guided. Jazakallah khairan wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.